A lot about that light. God is light. God is light. That is so important. Because the darkness represents evil. But God is light. And in Him, now pay close attention, in Him is no darkness at all. Someone asked this morning about partial obedience. Partial obedience is not obedience at all. The truth mixed with any error at all is not the truth any longer. It is a lie. God is all light. There is no darkness in Him at all. And by the way, He doesn't change. He stays the same. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. I tell you, this is hard. This is hard stuff. Because what we have to do is that we have to look inward here. And when I read this, I'm telling you, I feel great need here because I know of my own self. I know what I'm like. And yet this says that God doesn't have any darkness in Him at all. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, and we're going to talk about how to do that. Now look at this. We have fellowship one with another. I wish I had the entire time just to talk about the fellowship part of this. But the fellowship part of this runs two directions. It runs like this. And it runs like this. It's talking about fellowship with one another. And by the way, now please don't take me wrong here. But when you ask someone about the weather or the price of cows, that's not fellowship. I'm sorry. It kind of seems like fellowship, but it's really not fellowship. Fellowship is whenever we begin to experience this kindred spirit with one another because of the light that is shining in me and the light that is shining in you begins to have fellowship one with another. And here he says, when there's darkness there, when there is darkness there, the fellowship ends. The fellowship ends. If we have fellowship one with another and the blood of Jesus Christ. I skipped one, didn't I? Six. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Verse 7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Now here's the hooker here. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. I'm glad that that's there. I need that there. Do you need that? Man, I need that there. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. But what are we going to do with that? What are we going to do with that sin that we know that is present with us? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And by the way, the word confess is to agree with God. It's calling a spade a spade. When He calls sin, sin, we call sin, sin. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar. And His word is not in us. My little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate. That's a really good word. It's like a lawyer. It's someone to come along beside you. It's someone to stand for you. We have an advocate. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is... Here's another big word that we hardly ever use. The King James calls this propitiation. He is the propitiation for our sins. He took on himself the sins of the world. He took our sins on him. He bore our sin on the cross. He took our sin. He took our place. He is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. You may be seated. The purpose of divine forgiveness. Verses 6 and verse 7 in our passage. The purpose of forgiveness is to restore broken fellowship. And that's true between us and God, and that is true between us and other people. We forgive to restore fellowship. When you're wife forgives you, it is to restore fellowship. When you forgive your wife, it's to restore fellowship. When you forgive one of your church members, one of your friends, it's to restore fellowship. And by the way, it does not take away, it does not do away with the consequence of sin. A father was teaching his son about forgiveness of sin. And he told his son, when he sinned, now you have to ask God to forgive you. You have to ask the people that you sinned against to forgive you, but you have to ask God to forgive you. So go and ask God to forgive you. And he read him this verse. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive him. Forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And he came back to his father and he said, okay, I've done that. And he said, okay, you're forgiven. He said, I want you to do one more thing. He said, go out in the tool shed and get one of the biggest nails that you can find. I want you to take it to the back door, take the hammer, and I want you to drive that nail in the door. And he said, when you get that nail driven in the door, I want you to come back. And he came back and he said, okay, I've driven it in the door. And he said, okay, that represents your sin and your broken fellowship with God. But he said, God's forgiven you, right? And he said, yeah. He said, okay, I want you to take the hammer and go back to the door and pull the nail out. And that represents God's forgiveness of you. And so there for several months, for a long time, every time the boy would sin, he'd come to his father and they'd talk about it and he'd say, okay, go ask God to forgive you. And he'd go to ask God and he'd come back and he'd say, okay, go to the shed and get a big old nail. Get the hammer and drive it in the back door. When you get forgiveness, you pull it out. That represents your forgiveness. And after a few months, the boy said, Dad, this deal of forgiveness, I'm learning a lot about that. And he said, man, it's great to get forgiveness. Boy, I feel so good about that. But he said, have you looked at the back door? He said, so is sin in our life. There is a consequence to sin in our life. It leaves scars on our life. When a man gets drunk and drives an automobile, and he kills a family, that family is still dead. If he gets an arm cut off in an accident, in a wreck, that arm is still gone. You see, there is a consequence. It doesn't mean that we cannot get forgiveness. This is not a license to sin. It's to show us the importance of living a life in the light. It's to walk in the light. Keep walking in the light and avoid sin. He said, you can't altogether. You're going to sin. But when you do sin, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is the propitiation for our sin. Amen. Verse 5 says, God is light. Do you know what darkness is? Darkness doesn't have any power of its own. Had you ever noticed that? Now, men do sin in darkness. They like to have the lights out when it's dark. Mike Dishroon sells security systems, but he's told me a number of times the secret is light. Get lots of light. Get lots of light on your property if you want to discourage thieves and people that would do wrong. Get lots of light. You know what? Darkness doesn't have any power in its own. Darkness is the absence of light. You come into this building when it's dark at night, and brother, I mean it is dark in here when it's dark. But you turn on the lights and the darkness has to flee. You know what it is about sin in our lives? When we, friend, listen to me. When we turn on the light, darkness has to flee. It's a matter of turning on the lights. Now, we can talk about, well, I just have a tendency to do this. I'm just kind of drawn to that. I tell you all the time that I fall off the wagon. I don't mean that I'm getting drunk, you understand. I mean that I sin. And I know that there is a sin nature about me. But it's the absence of light. When I turn on the light, the darkness flees. And there's some ways that you can turn on the light. We're going to talk about turning on the light. Light condemns sin. Look with me at John, the 3rd chapter. You remember this passage? John 3, look down at verse 19. And this is the condemnation. What does the word condemnation mean? It means judgment. This is the judgment. This is the condemnation. That light is coming to the world. Now look at this. Oh my. Well, you know, I think that society is trying to teach us that men really... They're inherently good. It's just because of their raising. It's just because of their environment. So if you will change their environment, they will do better. That's not what the Bible says. Look at what the Bible says here in verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world. Uh-oh. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. That's the reason you need a Savior and the reason I need a Savior. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. Choice is here. Choice is here. Everyone that doeth evil hates the light. Neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Light commends truth. It recommends it. It lifts up the truth. Light lifts up the truth. You know, when you turn the lights on, you can imagine all kinds of things in the dark. But when you turn the lights on, that changes everything. Light commends the truth. Look at verse 21 of that same chapter. But he that doeth truth, look. He that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Look back at 1 John, the 1st chapter. Look down at verse 7. If we walk in the light. Now, what does that mean? That means that you always carry a light? No? Well, you do. It's just inside. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. If we walk in the light, literally, that is that it's what we do. It's our lifestyle. It's what we do. Sometimes the New Testament calls it our conversation. It's just who we are. It's we're walking in the light. If we walk in the light, verse 7, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. We have fellowship with one another. If we walk in the light, we have fellowship with Jesus. Look at John 8, the Gospel of John, the 8th chapter. 8, look at verse 12. This spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of light. Verse 7 says, we have fellowship one with another. Well, you can't have fellowship with God and not have fellowship with your brothers and sisters in Christ. There is no way. There is no way. Broken fellowship with God means broken fellowship with your brothers and sisters, or vice versa. Broken fellowship with your brothers and sisters means broken fellowship with God. And that fellowship is vertical and horizontal. Stephen Alford said, the reason that we don't see revival today is that we are so divided. We do not love one another. We must come to a place to take ownership of others in the church. Guys, flip that CD off just for a second. You guys won't